that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I want to speak this morning, and probably next week as well, on these last days in which we live. It's intriguing, and especially in June of 2020, it should captivate our hearts as believers. You turn on the newscast, and it kind of sometimes leaves you feeling numb. You look at the financial world, and it can become very frustrating. A lack of morality in the world today can even madden us. Religion has become very routine, and unfortunately, many churches, the average church, you could probably say, is cowering and changing to the ways of the world. Many believers are being consumed with worry and conformity to this world. But this is a time in which we live more than ever that we should be, as the Bible says, redeeming the time. To be quite honest, nothing should bring revival faster than knowing that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, knowing that the Lord's redemption is drawing nigh, you and I should be more motivated to serve the Lord than ever before. Keep something right here. We're going to use our Bible a lot this morning, all right? But go over to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, a familiar passage of Scripture, but I want you to see these things. 1 John chapter number 3 and in verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse number 1. After that, we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 3. But in 1 John chapter number 3 and in verse number 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now, knowing the fact that right now we are, all of us that are saved today, we are the sons of God. Amen? And knowing that, and knowing that the Lord is going to return, and when he does return, we will be made like him. What a blessing that is. Now, every one of us that know this, that have this hope, that have this confidence, in other words, if you're here today and you're saved and you know the Lord is coming back, if that's you, say amen. Then we should seek to purify ourselves even as he is pure. We should want to become more like him. We should be motivated to live a godly life, knowing that he's returning. Over back in 2 Peter chapter number 3, just go back a few pages in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. 2 Peter 3, if you want to put something in 2 Peter in this passage, we'll probably come back later here as well. But in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 10, says this. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Now, what did Peter just say? We know that the Lord's coming back. We know that this world is temporary. We know that there's a better day a-coming. Amen? And knowing this, it should motivate us into what type of person we ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. Verse number 12, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." You see in this passage of scripture, just in these few verses, that number one, and in these, in verse number 10 and verse number 11, we should be looking for these things. We as God's people, as Thessalonians says, we're not wandering about in darkness. Amen. We are children of the light. We should be looking for the coming of the Lord. We should be expecting, ready? June of 2020. This should not surprise us that the world, and we'll go back and read 2 Timothy in just a second, how it describes what in the last days, how people are going to be. That should not, you know, strike us as shocking. It's something we should be looking for. It's something that we could be expecting to see as we get closer to the return of the Lord. We should be looking for these things, but then in verse number 11 here in 2 Peter, we should be living in light of these things. Not just looking for these things, knowing that it's going to happen, but as it says in verse number 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" So knowing that, you know, what is to come, it should motivate us not to hide in our homes, not to pull the covers over our head, not to stick our head in the sand, not to, you know, be cowering somewhere afraid to speak up. Now more than ever, we need to be living a life of godliness in this world that desperately needs it. We should be looking for in light of these things. We should be living in light of these things, and we should be longing for these things. Look at verse number 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." In other words, as we look and we see these things happening, and we motivate ourselves to live a life of godliness, we should be doing it knowing and longing for a day. And I like how it says it there in verse number 13, that there's going to be a day when all these things are behind us and we are going to dwell in righteousness. What a wonderful thought. So what does that mean? There's no more bad news. Isn't that great? No more sin, no more sorrow, none of these things. All these things will be passed away behind us. So we look forward to these things. Now go back to 2 Timothy in chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, maybe keep something there in 2 Peter. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we see here in verse number 1. Again, we're just doing a Bible study today in Sunday school on living in these last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, don't take me, you just heard what I said. Now's the time to be excited, to be living for the Lord like never before. All right? So don't take this next statement the wrong way. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. All right? I think we're starting on the brink of living as we can understand more. We have been blessed the last 100+ years to be living in a very wonderful time of grace when the Lord's churches has been doing some work, and praise the Lord, God's been good. Many thousands upon thousands have been saved. Praise the Lord for that, and more will be saved. Praise the Lord for that. But let's be honest, we've had it pretty easy, especially living in this country. But perilous times are going to come. Now, what are the signs of this? What's the description of when we know we're reaching this perilous times? Look at verse number 2. Here's some description of what you can look for when you know we're entering these perilous times, these last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, I think we're living there pretty much. Covetous. Boasters. Have you watched the news? Proud. Listen for the word pride this week. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. In other words, out of control, doing whatever you want to do, anarchy. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Verse 6, of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. Verse 7, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. A time of great knowledge, but great foolishness. I can see it. I'm not in any way. If you leave this lesson thinking it's, you know, a doomsday message, you miss the point. Now more than ever, we are to be redeeming the time. Now more than ever, we should be motivated to live a life of godliness, to speak up in the name of Christ, to reach as many as we can, snatching them from as brands from the fire. Amen? This is a time to be motivated, to serve, to do all that we can, to outreach as a church, to outreach as a family, to outreach as an individual, to understand that living in these times, what was just described is a world in which we live in. And I know people have said that, and I grew up, you know, since I was a kid. You know, people have said, well, you can see this in the world. And you can. And but you can see it even more now. Which is really frightening to think what we'll say in 10 years if the Lord doesn't come back. As times, as you can see up there in verse number 13 in the same passage, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So it's something that's going to happen. So you see this description, you see this degradation in verse number 13 as it's going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. People are going to just swallow lies. People are going to hate truth. People who at one time sat in churches are going to be deceived by false teaching. You see, society, it's like this fictitious world that everyone thinks is going to be, that we're working towards some utopia and that man is basically good. Wrong. Man is basically evil. And without God, things are going to spiral out of control. Men are going to become worse and worse and more deception. And you say, but boy, this is depressing. Verse number 14. But knowing all of these things are happening and is going to happen, it is not for us to throw up the white flag. It is not for us to build a wall around our church here and everybody live on a compound and hide, all right? No, not at all. But, verse 14, you see our duty. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We have a job to do, amen? We have a responsibility. Amen. We are living in a dark time. Brother Ben, can you flash a verse up for me? John chapter 9 and verse number 4. I know we're living in a dark time, all right? But that just means that we have a job to do. John chapter 9 verse 4, I must work the work of him that sent me when it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And I know things are getting worse, but we're not there yet. We still have opportunity to do something for God. We still, matter of fact, more than ever, we should be motivated to do something for God. The day is coming when the Holy Spirit will be removed. The day is coming when we will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. But until that time, we have a job to do. And now, and I know the world in which we're living in, and I know the surroundings, and I hear the news, and I read the headlines. I get it. But it's not time for us to be afraid. It is not time for us to start, this folding our hands and saying we can't do anything. Now more than ever, we should be motivated to live a life of godliness, to live a life of holiness, to speak the truth in love and reach as many as we can. I mean, Brother Ben, one more verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Now, listen to this verse. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32, just get an illustration from the Old Testament here, all right? It says there, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now, that was then, but we should be children of God when we have understanding of the times. Now catch this, we ought to know what to do. Yes. Knowing what's going on around us is, ought to be a motivation for us. Something to challenge us to keep going. Now look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, living in these last days, what can we glean from this? First of all, in verse number 9, it says there, but they shall proceed no further. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. In other words, what does Paul say to Timothy here? That in these last times, you're going to see it. All these things that are described, which is folly, which is foolishness, it's going to be manifest. In other words, it's going to be very clear. You're going to see these things. So I believe Paul is challenging Timothy to watch for these things. It's in our Word of God that we should be watching for those things. You and I should be looking for these things to be coming to pass. You know, I said this before when we were teaching through our grief counseling classes that, you know, we talked about how a biblical understanding and how to handle when a loved one passes away. And one of the first fundamental principles is this, that, you know, death should never come as a shock to us, as we know that it is appointed unto men. And it's something that, you know, but many times it kind of throws us into this world that, you know, we hear people say, and I know tragedies happen, but the fact is this, that if the Lord doesn't come back, we all have that appointment. So you and I must be prepared for it. Here in this passage of Scripture, we are told as the children of God to be looking for these things, looking for these times. We should be watching for it. 2 Peter chapter number 3 said the same thing. It said to be looking for these things. Times are changing. Times are changing. Matter of fact, they're changing rapidly. You look globally, the world is changing. Economically, the world is changing. Politically, our world is changing. In technology, our world is changing. I mean, just this year, we could talk about viruses and hornets and asteroids. And I read an article this week that there are cannibal rats coming. Right? You turn on the news, you read about riots and anarchy and unemployment. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world, but we as God's children, these are realities that should not shock us that are coming. I'm not saying, you know, don't take me that wrong way either. I'm not saying the Lord's coming back next week, right? We are told never to set a time, but we are told to start looking for things. And we should open our eyes, and when we see these things, it should motivate us to godliness. when we read here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm not going to read it again, but the description that you have in verses 2 through 7, that's where we live today. I mean, that's what you're hearing about today. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, again, if you have something there, and in verse number 3, this is what they're saying today. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition unto godly men. You see that they will scoff. They'll scoff when it comes to Christ. They'll scoff when it comes to his coming. Matter of fact, in this passage of scripture, it's mentioned that they will scoff about a creation and a universal flood. And it mentions these other things that the world's going to laugh at and roll their eyes at. We live in that world today. We live in a world that, you know, they hear what we're talking about and they roll their eyes. They don't want it. And if you don't catch anything else in the Sunday school lesson, catch this, all right? In a human perspective, we look around today, a little frightening. But we're not to live on a human perspective. We are seated with him in heavenly places. Our outlook should be a heavenly perspective. And when we look at it through a heavenly perspective, these are exciting times. These are times that should put a smile on our face. These are times because we know that the Lord is working towards, amen, a rapture, amen, a millennial reign, amen, a new heaven and a new earth. That's why when we study all of these things, the book of Revelation says that those who study the book of Revelation receive a blessing from God. It should be something that encourages us. In 1 Thessalonians, you might put this verse up, Ben. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. All right, this is why it talks about when you study these about the return of the Lord. It simply says this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen? So when we study these things, it should bring comfort to us. So as we look around and we see this world and what all's going on, it shouldn't make us be pulling the hair out of our head. It shouldn't make us running around scared to death. It should make us have some comfort in our hearts. Our Lord is right. What he said is happening. And what he has promised, praise God, is going to happen. So it should bring comfort into our lives. It should bring encouragement to our lives. But it is something that we should be looking for. Now, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 if you're not there. And what are we supposed to be looking for during these times? Now, catch a few things with me here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2, 3, and 4, again, we should be looking for a sinful lifestyle being promoted. It's something that you should look. Now, again, it's nothing we're longing for. It's not something that we're hoping, right? But it's something that we as God's people, when we see it, it shouldn't shock us. When we see it, it shouldn't scare us. When we see it, we should say, oh wait, God said this was going to happen. God said to expect this. You read verse 2, 3, and 4, and you see these different characteristics that is going to be in the world. We should be looking for that. And my friends, you can see that today. And I'm just knocking on 45 years, and I know some have many more years than I have on this earth, but I've never seen a world that describes this passage than what I see today. And this world's had some very perilous times in the past, but I believe in our generation, in this generation, we're seeing things that 5 years ago, we would have never thought we'd see in this country and around the world. You see, the sinful lifestyle is something we should be looking for. We should be looking for and expecting, not that we want it, but expecting to see it in these last days. In verse number 5, a spiritual confusion, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, Paul gave us here from the Holy Spirit another thing. Not just will we see a sinful lifestyle, but we will see a great spiritual confusion. In other words, there'll be many people who will do things in the name of religion, but the power of God is far from that. I know you can't get out a phone book anymore, so Google churches, Cincinnati. I praise the Lord for every church that is preaching the gospel this morning. Amen. But there's a lot of things out there that have a form of religion, but there's no power of God there. Preaching lies, preaching a false gospel, preaching other than Jesus Christ. We could go through all the idolatry that's being promoted, the false religions, the cults. There's a lot of things out there. And you would look and say, why isn't, you know, we'll stick with Cincinnati. Why isn't Cincinnati, you know how many, you know how many churches are in Goshen? I mean, why isn't Cincinnati turned upside down for Christ? There's a lot of churches. But the power of God. We need the power of God. One of the signs that the Holy Spirit told us to be looking for is you'll know you're in these last days when a sinful lifestyle is being promoted and there's a lot of spiritual confusion out there. People won't know what is the truth. A lot of religion, but not a lot of truth. Another thing to be looking for is this, in verse number 7, a surplus of knowledge, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're blessed to kind of live in our families and in the church that we have. We're very blessed to have all that. But sometimes we live in our world, we don't see how much the lost world thinks that they're educated. Beyond. When we were over in England a couple of years ago, Brother Kent Gossmeyer shared with us, you know, something, and America's usually just a few years behind, right, what's going on in England and places like that when it comes to these things. But he described that the English people feel that they've been educated out of religion. That religion is a crutch that America will one day get over. And that's how they see it. And this country's heading there quickly. This country's heading in that same direction. You know how much knowledge? I mean, most of you this morning have a phone in your pocket that can answer about any knowledge question you want to ask it. It's really remarkable, really. I mean, if you want to know how many inches it is to the moon, it will tell you. I mean, that's amazing. If you want to know what the weather is going to be 6 days from now, it will lie to you. Right? But the fact is this, there's so much knowledge at our fingertips. People are so, they have, education has become a god almost, and I'm all for education. But the world has so much knowledge, yet ignorant of the truth. Paul said, when you see that world, it ought to motivate you, believer, to continue in the things that thou hast learned. You see this sinful lifestyle, this spiritual confusion, this surplus of knowledge. Back over in 2 Peter chapter 3, I glance back over there real quick. In verse number 4 and 5, you'll see a time of scoffing the truth. And I know we've already talked about it some. I'm not going to spend a long time here. But again, in verse number 4 of 2 Peter chapter number 3, these folks living in these last days will say, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old." And it goes on to describe what we've already read. But they'll scoff the truth. They'll scoff the fulfillment of God's word. They will scoff the formation of the world. They will scoff the flood as mentioned there. They'll scoff these things. They'll mock these things. I remember whenever Ken Ham first started the Creation Museum, what a stir it caused. And living in this area, we got to see a little bit more than a lot of the country did. I don't know if you drove down there as they were first opening in the mile-long protest. As they protested and scoffed creation in the Bible. The University of Cincinnati started a brand new course to offer their students proving creation is a lie. They failed. But they scoffed it. They mock these things. When we talk about the Lord is coming back, they roll their eyes at these things. So we're supposed to watch for certain things, a sinful lifestyle, spiritual confusion, a surplus of knowledge, but a scoffing of the truth. And there are other things, you know, we got to hurry this morning, but there are certain signs that have been prophesied that we should be looking for. One of the great marks of the end days that took place was years ago, I believe in 1948, when Israel became a nation again. Right. I mean, you have to understand that for, you know, 1900 years, there was no Israel. They were all scattered abroad, and we all know the history of what took place there. But when Israel became a nation again, God's people all of a sudden said, "Whoa." Because the Bible said just that. It even gives great detail, and if you'll turn on the news and listen, you'll catch these things. Ezekiel chapter number 38 prophesies that that Russia and Iran will one day turn on Israel. Study Ezekiel chapter 38 and listen to the news. But Israel had to become a nation. You look for certain things, such as the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter number 3, when the Antichrist, and he sets up this one world government. According to Revelation, and in chapter number, I believe it's number 17. But there's going to be a one world economy. A one world religion. Now, we know that's going to take place during the tribulation period. So we know it's coming. And so we as Christians, when we hear about things such as a new world order, and I'm not going to get all weird on you, all right? But there is going to be a world government one day. There is going to be a one world religion. They're all going to worship the false prophet one day. There is going to be a one world economy one day. You can only buy and sell a one way. That's coming. And so we as Christians, again, when we see these things, it doesn't cause us, again, to throw the white flag up and say, "Oh, woe is us, you know, it's over." No, now, read the Bible. It should motivate us more than ever before to do something for God. Young people, get busy. Go knock on a door. Instead of catching up and watching 7 seasons on Hulu, go do something for God. Go knock on someone's door. Go invite someone to church. Go pass out a tract. Adults, get busy doing something. Because this stuff is happening. These things are coming to pass. These things are heading in that direction. You hear talk about, we know that Israel is a nation again. We know that this one world government is, the seeds are being planted. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Brother Benny, don't throw that verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, that you can expect that there will be cries for peace and safety. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In other words, in these last days, you're going to hear people saying, hey, can't we just have peace? Listen. And again, I only preach it for this purpose, that we should be watching for these things. We should be looking for these things. We should be expecting these things. And when we see these things starting to come to pass, we don't throw our hands up and quit. We don't barricade the church and hope for the best. We don't sit there and gather our family together and just bunker down. No, it is time to do something for God. Should be a motivation to live a holy life, a godly life, a life that is going to be in direct contradiction to this world, to take more tracts and pass them out this week than ever before, to share your testimony with somebody, to go out and invite someone in the church, to tell somebody about the saving gospel of Christ, to watch the kind of life and the words that we say. This should all be motivation, because everything that we looked at in God's word today, it's happening. It's the headlines. It's the news. So it doesn't shock us. It shouldn't. It doesn't scare us. It shouldn't. Instead, it should motivate us. Let's do something for God. Let's reach somebody else. Let's reach one more. Let's do our best. Let's start one more church. Let's send out one more missionary. Let's do something. Because in these days, we need to redeem the time. Every day should mean more and more as we see these things come to pass.